I live not too far from my gym, and we go work out 7 in the morning, Mondays and Wednesdays. And without fail, 6:30, I wake up. I'm just kind of like, I'm not trying to go to the gym right now. And then I think about it. I was like, here's some facts. You're already awake. It's a 10-minute bike ride away.
Yes.
Your father is sick. He cannot do this. And you are able-bodied.
Facts.
You have no reason not to go and show up. And I realized, like, if I don't show up for myself in that way, no one else can show up for me like that. Came up off another, so I'm thankful. You know I gotta get it to the bank. Close facts, bro. Facts, bro. These are all facts. Big twos, big checks, big racks, bro. Facts, bro. Really big facts.
Hey, welcome to the Current Mood Podcast. This is your host, Jacqueline Marie. This is a space where we sit down and tell stories at the intersection of music, technology, and culture. And I'm super excited to have you listen to this next conversation that I had with Anthony Denby, founder of Humble Riot. Ant and I talk about a lot of super light topics, such as reframing masculinity. We talk about self-care and kind of how it's taboo. We talk about how to identify the need for balance in your life, why taking care of yourself, your mental and physical health is actually very cool. And, you know, some of the recommendations that Ant has and some of the tools that he keeps in his toolbox to keep everything balanced and together. We had a really nice talk. Welcome to Current Mood.
Thank you for having me.
It's really nice that you're able to come. Can you tell the people who you are?
My name is Anthony Denby. From Houston, Texas, currently residing in Brooklyn for a minute, founder of Humble Riot.
Fire. So Ant is one of these people that kind of just comes into your life at a time when you need him. and he was one of those people who came into my life in a transitional time, and it's always very supportive and very open-minded. So thank you for being...
It's an honor.
Wow. No, but really, thank you for being here for me and for like showing me a lot of new perspective in a variety of life things.
You've done the same for me as well, too.
What? Thank you. What I want to talk about today is self-care.
Oh, man.
I know it's a buzzy topic and perhaps even a taboo word. But you are a handful of people that I do like to talk about these kinds of things with. And I think you have a lot of interesting perspective. And yeah, I just want to open it up to you. Like, what is your perspective on self-care? Like, what does that say to you?
For me, I mean, self-care is the foundation of everything, right? So, and it's really an opportunity to be honest with yourself and meet yourself where you are in real time, whether you're having a great day, whether you're having the worst day ever, whether you don't really know what you're having. Right. But it's important to, you know, just acknowledge where you are, right? And for myself, like, that's my priority in the morning. Mm-hmm. I focus on my self-care before I start my day so I can give to myself. So by the time I'm on the clock for the rest of the world, I'm already taken care of. Mm. I'm using that nurturing to fuel the rest of my day.
Wow, that's so logical. Like, it makes so much sense.
Sounds easy, right?
But yeah. So what percentage of your life would you say you've spent with a morning routine, like a morning self-care routine?
Dude.
Like,
so
yeah.
I really started it when I was halfway towards the end of being an artist manager. Ooh. When I was a manager, I mean, you know, the first fruits of my labor, my energy and everything went to my clients.
Who were some of your clients?
Childish Gambino, respect to him for killing it last night. Those Grammy.
Ooh.
Those trophies. Quadrant, work with John Legend, Black Eyed Peas, many other artists.
Wow. Okay.
And but I was giving, right? And I didn't really discover self-care until I had to. Mm. When life started collapsing on me. And you know, I've told you before, and I live by this, like, you know, the world responds to you how you treat yourself. Mm. Right? And I wasn't being good to myself of being overly in service to others. Mm. Right. Mm-hmm. And I just take a beat and stop.
Was there a tipping point or a moment where you're like, nah, fuck this?
Just like, well, I mean, artist management is hard as fuck sometimes.
Yeah.
You know that. But like, just I wasn't feeling good about where I was. You know, either, you know, even when my RS were doing well, I wasn't physically feeling well.
Really?
So I wasn't optimal, right? Mm. And it's because I wasn't dealing with things that my needs, my wants, my desires. I put those way in the background, even forgot about them. Mm-hmm. And I just feel life is about balance. Mm-hmm. So self-care is what he taught me about balance, you know?
When I think of balance, I think of like the yogi. Like
I know, right? Tree pose and shit like that.
Yeah. That's what like most of America thinks about self-care. Like, right. Yeah, balance. Like, for sure, bro. But it's so real. What's balance look like for you?
Just being able to see the beauty in both sides. You know, like...
Wow.
And that's not always easy. I'm not great at that, you know, but I try to work on that as much as I can, right? And what I mean by that is, you know, we're always taught, you know, think positive, you know, the law of attraction.
Yeah.
You know, that's great, you know, but if you focus so much on those things and you focus so much on one side of the spectrum,
yeah,
that leaves room for shadow.
Oh.
And you got to deal with that stuff too, you know? So I think I've been learning that life is about moderation and learning how you coexist within both sides, mm-hmm. you know? And it's not always easy. You know, mm-hmm. I don't always get it right, but, you know, it's something I am aware of now.
How do you know when you got it right? How do you feel?
I feel in alignment. I just feel easy. You know, like, yeah. You know, I feel I'm aware what my triggers are. I'm aware that I have triggers. You know, mm-hmm. I'm focused on being versus doing, which is different.
Yeah. Being versus doing. Doing is kind of like the never not working.
Mm-hmm.
Like
Team no sleep. That's bullshit.
They sleep, we grind. Mm-mm. Like, nah, you need to sleep.
No, you gotta sleep, fam.
Like, it's funny because I actually still do run into people and see people around. They're like, yeah, bro, I pulled a whole nighter today. I'm like, you look terrible. You should get some.
You're looking wild right now.
Yeah,
you know?
Like you're crazy.
And as an entrepreneur, I thought I had to do that.
Right. You know, I know. I feel you.
I mean, society dictates that, you know, like, if you're sleeping, you're not working, right? You're not making money. I'm like,
you're not recharging.
Facts. But like, the thing is, like, you have to recharge.
Yeah.
You know, and you don't have to. At a certain point, when you're firing like that, your brain's like, you can keep typing this computer. I'm over here chilling. I'm not doing anything right now.
Right.
You're just functioning at this point.
Right.
So just being able to know when, okay, I'm at my limit. Let me just walk around for a second. Let me just shake some stuff off. And then maybe I can go back to this, you know?
Right. Do you feel like, from your perspective, that you've been kind of socialized into, you know, the way that you thought about self-care or even the fact that you could express that you were feeling emotional about something?
I think for me, I've been meditating for over 10 years now. Wow. And I think that just made me aware.
10 years every day?
Pretty much, yeah. I miss a day here, two or there, but when I miss it, I feel it, right?
Yeah.
So like, I feel like, as I start meditating, I became aware of the new sides of myself and things that I wanted to focus more on, things I wanted to deal with, right? Mm-hmm. And that made me, that made the vulnerability come out over time, mm-hmm. you know? And I was able to start talking about that and just like really, luckily I was around a lot of supportive people and community and my teachers in different ways who let me feel safe to open up about stuff, mm-hmm. you know? Cause I mean, we all deal with stuff, right? You know, but we don't feel the safety. Like, you know, if I tell this person I'm doing this, I'm going to look crazy to them.
Right.
But that person could be going through the same thing right now. And they're waiting for you to say something about it. they're scared to say something about it, you know?
We our own brand of crazy.
Exactly. You know, like, I'm fine, bro. You look crazy right now, though. You know, like, so being able to talk about those things, you know, and I think, I hope I'm answering your question, but like being meditation put me in a state of just calm and awareness. To let me, and even when you meditate, things come up for you, right? And you go like, oh, that's uncomfortable, you know? Right. So why is that bothering me? So you start exploring things with yourself.
Yeah, that's
the beginning for me.
Yeah, when you started to explore things for yourself to get it out.
Mm-hmm. And the exploration, and that's the constant exploration.
Yeah. Like, how did you know it was okay to explore those things?
Because I felt the release from exploring them, or at least talking about them.
Like, did you have mentors around or people in your life that were like, yeah, this is okay?
Yeah, I mean, I've had a lot of spiritual mentors.
Okay.
You know, I call them Team Spirit. And they're all different kinds of people that most of them don't even know each other, like Reiki masters, intuitive coaches, mediums, psychics. My mom don't want to hear about any of this right now. I remember one time when I first started Humble Riot, I shared my Google Calendar with my mom because she was like on the staff. She would help me book travel and like do research for me, things, because she was retired at the time.
Yes.
And I put on my calendar appointment with my shaman, right? So my mom's on my calendar one day. She was like, "What'd you do today?" I was like, "I had a meeting." She was like, "Who's your shaman?" And I grew up in a Christian household, so the shaman thing wasn't really a thing in my house. So we'd had that conversation, and it was uncomfortable. We got through it over time, but I have a lot of people I have a lot of teachers around me who are informing me in different ways, you know, and the teaching for them, it wasn't like, you should do this. It was like, hey, look at this.
Right.
Did you know that you're doing this?
Right.
You know?
Did you know?
Why do you do that? You know, like, it wasn't like, it was never dogmatic, like, you should be doing this.
Right.
You know?
Right.
Are you aware of this? You know? This could be happening because you're probably thinking about this. It was always like them dropping breadcrumbs and me saying, Oh yeah. And like in following that, you know?
Yeah.
So.
Do you feel like your masculinity and, you know, your femininity plays a lot into your self-care practices?
I think so. I feel like masculinity needs to be redefined.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like, you know, I was taught just by being a man growing up, you know, that I'm the breadwinner. I'm the strong one. You know, you can't be weak, you know? And I feel like by doing that, a lot of men keep that inside.
Mm-hmm.
So they struggle and suffer in silence, right? When the strength is actually from talking about,
oh, bro,
I'm scared of this shit, bro. You're like, yeah. Talk about these things, right?
Yeah.
But we're taught not to do that, you know? So having to unlearn that, you know? And then when I think of femininity, I think men can be very fixed, you know? Like we can get very fixed in our views. And I feel like femininity is very fluid.
Mm-hmm.
It's very like, it can be temporary, but there's an ease with it, right? So how do you navigate the polarity of both those things?
I don't know, man, but you sound like Bobby right now.
Shout out to Bobby right
shout
now.
Shout out. Bobby Lyle, shout outs.
The realist.
Yeah. I had like all this stuff I wanted to ask you about masculinity and music industry and like all this stuff, because I've been listening to, like, earlier today I was watching this video with Bell Hooks. And Kevin, I'm spacing out on his last name right now, but they were talking about black masculinity, and they were just talking about how, you know, just a lot of black men growing up, their relationship with their fathers really, really set a trajectory for their entire emotional life, which is true for any person with parents, right?
Yeah.
But specifically with men and black men and kind of like this kind of like cycle of... what Bell Hooks is describing as, I'm missing the terms right now, but she was talking about this just kind of like unwanted feeling and just kind of filling that void.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, that's a very personal thing, but
no, I mean, black masculinity is a whole other layer.
Yeah.
Cause you're dealing with the manhood part, then you're dealing with, you're black in America.
Right.
And like the lineage of that,
right,
you know, and how do you, you know, authentically know your past, but not allow it to limit your present and your future. How do you reconcile that with yourself?
Right. Without knowing the facts.
Exactly. You know, like, I know, like for myself, like when I walk into a room and everyone looks at me, in my mind, they're not looking at my shoes.
They're looking at me.
Well, you probably mean.
I'm always looking at your shoes.
This is true. This is very true.
But you guys could only see his shoes right now.
These are the rainy day shoes, but like, no, but I think about, you know, why am I being looked at right now? Is it because I'm black? And like, and also I navigate a lot of homogenous communities where I'm like one of few or one, right? So I think about, why am I the only one? Do they see me as not being a black person? Like, what is it about me that makes me have access to these things?
Yeah.
You know? But at the same time, I think about, there's an empowering way for me to be in these things to open up these communities for other people too.
100%.
You know, so now I flip my thinking to that.
So I'm curious, like, I mean, I know some of your practices and like some of the stuff you do, but where did you learn about this stuff? Like, are there books that have come into your life that were really helpful? there people that left a quote with you one day? Did some guy on the street yell something at you and you were like, hey, for sure?
Right.
Like, well, where are you getting all the tools?
I feel like there's always tools around us that can be from your college professor, your cousin, the homeless woman on the corner.
Yeah.
If you're open to receiving, right?
Yeah.
And I feel like there's always, the divines always find a ways to drop nuggets in if you're listening and keen to it, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I've had a lot of teachers, spiritually, mentors, things like that. I've been a mentor to others, and I've learned from people I've mentored as well. I listen to a lot of podcasts, you know, on, I don't call it self-help, but like self-exploration, you know? I love Oprah Super Soul Sunday.
Oh my God, me too. I was listening to the Eckhart Tolle one this weekend.
I have the book in my bag right now. So good. So I'm glad you mentioned that. So like, even like A New Earth, right?
Yeah.
Books like that blow my mind because it breaks life down into a very simple, infantile space.
Yeah.
Like thinking about like a flower, right? We pass flowers every day on the street, right? It wasn't easy for that flower to be there. You know, think about how that flower came to existence and how that's a representation of something bigger, right? But we step on that shit going down the subway steps, right?
Uh-huh.
But that thing came, it emerged, right? And I think about, I'm really fascinated by reading about the ego right now, whether that be reading like Daring Greatly by Brené Brown or reading New Earth by Eckhart Tolle. But like one of my favorite books about that is The Untethered Soul. By Michael Singer.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Fam.
Yeah. Yeah.
This book was liberating for me because it breaks down, he talks about that voice in your head, how we're so conditioned to think that voice is us, but like we're actually the observer of the voice.
Oh, that's facts.
And how to change your dynamic with the voice, right? And it's caused me to think about, you know, I think about if that voice in my head were a real person, would I want to hang out with that dude? Absolutely not. Probably not, right? So I think of that dude as my roommate. I'm like, my roommate, what's he saying right now?
Oh,
you sound crazy, fam. What do you, what? They did what because of, like, stop. You sound, so I, now it's humorous because I can change, I can separate myself from the chatter.
Right.
For the most part.
Yeah.
You know, but I still drop into it as well, too, because, I mean, that's ego is sneaky, right? So I'm really fascinated by learning about my ego. In that ego, not in an arrogant way, just learning about that. The dude riding shotgun in my head all the time.
Right.
You know?
Always call shotgun.
Always call shotgun.
I heard something recently. This woman was describing, she was talking about the ego and the voice, the crazy voice. Mm-hmm. And she was talking about, she used the example of, you know, if I wouldn't talk, she has kids. If I wouldn't talk to my kids like that, I decided that I shouldn't talk to myself like that. So that's like,
that's real.
Yeah. That was her, you know, if you wouldn't talk to someone else like that, like why would you be talking to yourself like that?
Right.
So destructive. Like why?
Yeah. Why?
It doesn't make any sense.
Like I think the ego, what I've learned just in my reading and studying that it's designed to protect whatever identity you've created for yourself. Right.
Right.
So like if anything is messing with, you know, the aesthetic, hold on, we got to hold up. Don't call her back. Cause she said this to you. You know why I didn't email you back, right? It's always protecting the fortress, right? When the fortress is made up.
Right.
You know? So how do you, it's about, you know, reconciling that and learning like, you know, okay, I hear what you're saying. You sound crazy right now, fam. Like being able to just to separate yourself from that, you know?
So,
but also acknowledging it first too.
Yeah.
You can't just ignore it. It's not going to go anywhere.
Right. So then you like, you identify it and then you have to acknowledge it.
Acknowledge is like, I hear you. You know, thanks for sharing.
Hey, do the dishes now.
Yeah, you know what? Pay these bills real quick.
Right. Right. So how do you deal with working in the music and entertainment industry? You know, I guess I would say culture industry.
Mm-hmm.
With these ego practices that you're breaking down in your head when that's this industry is really based on the ego and operated, you know, around, you know, archaic structures that do involve a lot of ego. How do you navigate, you know, your self-care and your balance and keep your balance and stay straight when you're you know, potentially bombarded a lot by the work that you do?
That's a good question. I feel like the way I've been approaching it recently is like, since I'm aware of so many things about myself and how this self operates, right? So when I'm dealing with someone who's coming from that perspective, I do my best to acknowledge their humanity and just know, like, that's another person who has a voice in their head too. You know, their voice is a little bit wilder than mine at the moment, but like that person has an identity too. You know, so right. How do you like try to see myself in others? I feel like most people we have a problem with because yeah. they're reflecting something else of ourselves, right? So yes. How do you try to find humanity in people? You know, and like. And luckily, I've been through a lot in the music business, from being, you know, a manager for a long time to working at labels mm-hmm. to doing soundtracks and brand stuff. Like, I've seen a lot. So yeah. I'm able to identify where someone is based on where they're coming, what they're saying. I was like, oh, yeah, I've been that dude before. I feel you, fam. Like, and not demonize them. Just saying, I understand that, because I've been in that hungry, you know, like, or I'm feeling myself. I've been in those places before, so I know how to acknowledge it without making them wrong about it.
Right.
You know?
Yeah. That was actually something I struggled with when I started to become more aware of my ego mm-hmm. and like deconstruct what the voice mm-hmm. is. You can recognize people for their differences, mm-hmm. but at the same time, like, you shouldn't ever have to demonize them or make them feel bad about it. You know, like that putting someone in a harsh light doesn't ever change anything. Yeah. You know,
and it doesn't help you at the end of the day. I think our ego is so conditioned to make us always the one who's right.
Yeah.
Right. So if we're right, that means someone else has to be wrong.
Right.
It can never be they feel this way, I feel that way. It has to be like they're mutually exclusive.
Right.
Which is not true. And at the end of the day, like it hurts both sides.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
But I think it hurts us more.
Yeah. Yeah. You know? I also feel like if things were that easy, then there wouldn't be any innovation either. You know, like mm-hmm. there couldn't be like, I feel this way and you feel that. No, people constantly have to be thinking of other ideas.
Yeah. There has to be some discourse, and there has to be some dissonance in that discourse for things to break through.
Yeah.
You know?
So, I mean, we talked about this a lot, and I think it's really helpful. Maybe if we have another conversation about it right now.
Okay.
Because the more I talk to different people going through things in their lives, mm-hmm. the more I bring up the fact that I work with a coach mm-hmm. and how helpful it was and how helpful it still continues to be mm-hmm. And how it's okay and how it's not a therapist mm-hmm. and mm-hmm. you know, all of these things. Do you want to speak a little bit about your experience working with coaches throughout your...
Yeah, I mean...
your development?
Yeah, Bobby Lyle has been the person I work with the most continuously as a coach for like the last 2 years. Mm-hmm. And he's allowed me to see myself in a new way, you know, and allow me to emerge as a different part of myself.
Why is that important?
Just to embrace myself where I am. You know, like as an entrepreneur, a lot of time everything is on me, right?
All the time.
All the time.
Yeah.
Fact. Yeah.
No pressure.
All the time, right? So with that being said, I think I have to have all the answers, right?
Right.
And sometimes, you know this, you just don't have the answer. You know, you just don't know. Sometimes I'm like, what am I doing right now? What am I thinking right now? Right. Where do I go from here, right?
Yeah.
And he gave me the ability to see that that's actually a state of being. Not knowing is still a state of being. It's not stagnation. That's just where you are right now. Acknowledge that, embrace that. It's okay. Mm-hmm. You know, it's okay not to know, because when you admit to not knowing something, you can surrender.
Yeah.
And when you surrender, new things can emerge out of that.
It's the path of least resistance.
Exactly. You just let us, I don't know. I don't know.
Yeah.
And you just drop the ego, drop the guard, like, and then you can eventually embody a new perspective because you let go of what you thought you knew.
Right.
And what you thought the answer was.
Right.
You know?
Something new emerges.
Exactly. And like Bobby's helped me.
You never even consider.
Ever knew it was impossible. Right. You know, like.
It just pops up.
Like, exactly. Like, remember Bobby, like at the end of last year, he had me break down, like, I guess, my wins or successes from last 2018. Mm-hmm. And I named them out to him. And he said, okay, which ones of those did you plan for? It was like 30%.
Word.
So the other 70, I had no idea they were even coming.
Right.
They just happened.
Right.
You know, or they came into my existence. I was like, damn. I never thought about that before, you know? And he's helped me be actively in my life, but also at the same time, step back away from it with a macro view and look at my life too. It's almost like I'm walking on the ground, But also I'm a drone above me looking down at myself and saying, oh, turn left here. Right. Probably should stop walking. You know, I can see these dual perspectives. Right. I was only so focused on on this view for so long.
Yeah.
But now I can embody. He showed me how to embody multiple perspectives. You know?
Me too.
Which is a blessing. Because I never knew why I got stuck. And he and the toolbox is so robust now. I can always access those things in real time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like when I'm being a brat or when I'm when I'm feeling unresourceful, I have tools to deal with that. And we just take a beat. We stop, you know?
What's your favorite go-to tool?
Breathing, man.
Breathing?
Deep breathing is real. And just, I've learned for myself, I need to have movement.
Yeah.
So when I feel stuck in the morning, like when I feel stuck in anything, I just, let me get up, let me walk for a second. Let me just walk around.
Yeah.
Like yesterday I was working on a project for a client and I was sitting for hours just banging on my computer and I found myself stuck on something. I was like, let me just walk around the block for a second. Let me just move, you know, like, and something came to me on that walk.
It's amazing. It's so simple, right?
Yeah.
Something so simple that you can do.
Mm-hmm.
That's always available. All the time.
It's always available, you know, but I think if we're so stuck in a perspective or mindset, we don't know these things are available.
Right.
You know?
So how do you talk about these topics and, like, you know, bettering yourself with younger people that you meet?
Just open and honest, you know, like, you know, luckily I've been able to be a mentor for a lot of people and be, you know, whether it be a guest lecturer or teacher at universities and things like that. So I'm able to share my experience with people, you know, and I can share like a positive story, you know, something that happened or when I have, but say, you know, but here's, let me show you how I got to this.
Right.
And there's some failure in there. You know, there's failure. Yeah. There's challenges in there. Let me show you how I got to how this emerged for me.
Yeah.
It wasn't just a straight line as it may appear on this. Like there was a journey to get here.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
So I'm able to share that. And a lot, I feel like the youth right now are just more empathetic than we were growing up.
Mm.
Cause they just have, like, thinking about, like, one of the good sides of social media in my eyes is like community.
Mm-hmm.
People can share things they're interested in and they build resonance with other people.
Sure.
So they can just see each other, you know, all around the world. And it's made people a little bit softer in a lot of ways.
Mm-hmm.
And they're more flexible, more open. So, and I know I didn't have that growing up.
Yeah.
You know, I was like, I'm on this right here.
You know, you're over music.
Music, like that was my thing, you know, like, and they're just people more open and receptive. And I think my life is navigating me in a way where I had to be that way. Like, I remember when I first started my career, I just wanted to do A&R.
Really?
I wanted to sign bands. I wanted to, like,
I love it.
Get the accolades. I'm like, I found this person. They're dope. They're out. I wanted to be that person, right?
Yeah.
And then God was like, that sounds cool, but I'm going to put you over here real quick.
Nah.
Then over here, then back over. Like, so all these different detours I had, right? And I remember by the time I finally got around to doing A&R, I was like, I kind of had bigger aspirations now.
Word.
Because I seen so many other things,
right,
you know?
Right.
And I thought they were detours, but they were just like another path, you know? So learning how to deal with those detours, you know?
Yeah, and like reframing them.
Reframing
is a big
reframing.
That is a very valuable exercise. If anybody's listening that's interested in reframing, a very simple explanation is you basically write something down that you're struggling with and then you flip it into something positive.
Mm-hmm.
Or you flip it into, how would you describe reframing?
You choose another perspective.
You choose another perspective. There it is. It doesn't necessarily have to be positive.
Mm-hmm.
It can just be another perspective.
Exactly. Another perspective.
Yeah.
You know, and just, I think by you thinking that way, you think differently. It opens up more opportunities for you to think about something different.
Totally.
You just embody another perspective. I remember one time I did this thing. I could procrastinate at times. I did this polarity chart on procrastination and Bobby made me go through the benefits.
Did you procrastinate on it?
Tried to. Yeah. He was like, we're going to do this right now. So I did this polarity chart and like, I reframe procrastination.
Okay. To what?
So like, for instance, like, you know, I hood off on getting back to somebody about something, right?
Yeah.
And, you know, and I felt bad by not getting back to them.
Yeah.
You know, but at the same time, I didn't have the answer they needed.
Right.
So I had to go do the work to get the answer. So when I got back to them, it was a reason for the conversation. Otherwise, it's just rhetoric.
Right.
Hey, I got your email. I'm working on it.
Right.
You know, I can actually go do the work and come back and say, you know, thanks for reaching out. Here's what's happening.
So it's not really procrastination. Yeah. You were just being efficient.
It's efficiency. You know, yeah. It wasn't just like, I wasn't just buying time.
Right.
You know, so Understanding things like that, just reframing those kind of things.
Yeah.
And that can be done in any kind of simple situation or circumstance.
Crucial skills. Crucial skills.
For real.
Totally going to change gears, but one thing I'm really interested in is food and drink and physical health.
Okay.
I don't know where we should start, but when you started to do some more work on your ego and yourself and kind of like, you know, meditate and just become more aware of how you're feeling and how your mental is, what were some of the physical things you started noticing that you either were deficient in or that were improving?
I think I started noticing how just certain foods affected my body physically, you know, and noticing that. And also I just felt lighter overall. And just small things, even when I start sleeping more, like you can lean out from sleeping, just like you pick up atrophy, just when you're atrophied and you're like moving around, you're not taking care of yourself, that can change your physicality too.
Yeah.
So just learn things like that, you know, and then I got heavy into yoga in the last 6 or 7 months. And that's been an extension of my inner work.
Wow. Too, okay.
You know, and like I've created more flexibility in my mind. I have more flexibility in my physicality.
So real. Too.
Cause it's connected.
So real.
It's connected, you know? So, and I never knew that. And like, I was never really big into yoga. Shout out to Heal House, Brooklyn. But it's changed my life and it's changed how, like, I'll do dumb shit now. Like if I drop something on the ground, I'll stretch extra hard to get that instead of bending my knees. Cause I want to just
stretch
my body. You know,
I feel you 500%.
Exactly. You know, just like moving around, you know, like it just, I think when I'm flexible in my physicality, I'm flexible in my mind.
100%. It's like an athlete. You're training your mind, you're training your body.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then diet came into that. I mean, I changed my diet a couple of years ago and I'm probably like 90% gluten free. I don't have celiac, but I just wanted to try it. And I noticed that I felt clearer, less foggier. I slept better.
Yeah.
I mean, obviously your weight changes and things like that, but I felt better overall.
Right.
You know?
So, I mean, on a basic level, I mean, realistically speaking, it feels like gluten, it's a sticky substance, right? Mm-hmm. So it just kind of slows your body down a little bit. I mean, from a very macro perspective without getting scientific, but just thinking about gluten, it's kind of like this sticky thing.
Yeah.
Like, it makes sense that it would kind of slow you down.
Right. And I thought, to be honest with you, when the gluten-free thing really became got integrated into the zeitgeist, I was like, oh, this is like a marketing thing.
Oh, this is LA.
Yeah, this is some LA shit. So these chips can cost $2 more because they're gluten free, right?
Yeah.
And I started eating like that and I was like, wow, my clothes fit differently.
Okay.
I sleep better.
Okay.
You know, like I have more energy.
Do you notice like right away?
Over time, you know, but what I did notice when I started putting gluten back in my diet, my body was like, fam, what?
Really?
What's happening right now? Like I felt sluggish. I felt lethargic.
Yeah.
You know, but I wasn't. And what's crazy is back in the day, I would eat certain foods at night that had gluten and I would just every night without fail, I'll have allergies and start sneezing and and I stopped eating those things, never had it again. I was like,
it's a mystery. It's a miracle.
Message. Right. So yeah.
And then what about like your health, your fitness? Like how do you stay moving? Aside of yoga, shout out Heal House.
I work out. Couple times a week with friends, with my boys, Tristan, Joe, and Alzo at the Best Eye Y.
Hey, the Y? Yes. Oh my God, I was a Y kid.
I grew up at the Y.
Shout out the Y. I was a splash camp. I was a junior lifeguard.
Big up Weston YMCA, Houston, Texas. But me and Alzo, we work out and it's just also our way just to have our brotherhood thing and we just talk about life stuff and it's a quiet workout as well. And I mean, it just feels good. And like, I live not too far from my gym and we go work out 7 a.m, Mondays and Wednesdays. And without fail, 6:30, I wake up. I'm just kind of like, I'm not trying to go to the gym right now. And then I think about it. I was like, here's some facts. You're already awake. It's a 10-minute bike ride away.
Yes.
Your father is sick. He cannot do this. And you are able-bodied.
Facts.
You have no reason not to go and show up. And I realized, like, if I don't show up for myself in that way, I can't expect, no one else can show up for me like that. You know?
So true. So true.
I got to suit up every day and whatever that means for me. So like, I know I feel infinitely better after I do that. And my days are differently.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
I show up better. I feel empowered. My posture is better. My presence is stronger. Like, I just feel better.
You feel like you have better conversations and just interact with people differently.
Yeah. You feel confident and like, you know, and not in an arrogant way. You just feel more.
You're strong.
You're strong.
I'm strong. Yeah.
You feel strong. So like, we went this morning. We got destroyed.
What's painful. What's destroyed look like? Like
laying down, like gasping for air, you know, but we push one another though.
Oh,
you know?
That's nice. Yeah. So you got like a little camaraderie.
Yeah.
For your
we
fitness.
Got jokes, you know,
well, you got jokes.
We
7 a.m.
Certain people don't show up on time. We don't show up and we just crack when they come back. We crack on them.
Okay.
So it's our crew though. And it's funny because sometimes some of the other classes that happen there, people leave those classes and come work out with us. We're not trainers. We just work out together. Yeah. They're like, can I jump in? I was like, yeah, bro, we're not certified to be here doing this. But like,
looks like you guys know what you're doing.
Right. Come on in, you know? So it's fun though, you know?
Yeah.
And I learned just for myself, like I need movement. Yeah. Movement for energy, for ideas. I need movement. And when I feel stuck, movement usually helps pivot me out of that in some way.
Me too, 5,000%.
Yeah.
Yeah. Very apparent these days, especially living in New York.
Mm-hmm.
Like your body has to be strong.
Yeah.
Like you have to be able to withstand not only like all the bullshit,
yeah,
like verbal stuff, but like you literally are schlepping around all day long.
Yeah. You're on your feet all day and you're moving day. Like,
yeah,
it's truly a grind.
It is literally a grind. And then you know, you're an entrepreneur and you like, you have to stay healthy too. Like you can't, you're not calling out sick. Mm-mm. Be like sick working.
Your rent's not calling out sick. Yeah. Rent's like, I'm here on the first, fam. You know,
like, rent's like, you better have some tea for me.
Exactly, right?
What are you looking forward to?
I'm looking forward to things like projects I've been incubating on for a long time. Us at Humble Riot coming into fruition, coming out into the world.
What's Humble Riot? You tell us a little bit.
Oh, yeah, Humble Riot. Humble Riot's my little company. We focus on music curation, social impact and cultural programming. And what I mean by programming is like, you know, we tell stories, you know, amplify powerful voices that are impactful, right? Through food, technology, art, you know, like all aspects of storytelling. And, one thing I'm excited about is two good friends of mine, Diallo and Bashir, created the show called Southside coming out on Comedy Central.
Mm-hmm.
And, they tapped me to music supervise the show, which is like a bucket list thing for me for my entire life. And that's coming out in the summertime. And I've got a chance to work on it with them. And shout out to Run P.
Hey.
Shout out to Paul Heck, who been helping me on this. And it's a lifelong dream of mine to do this work.
Yeah.
And I remember when I auditioned for the role, I was sitting there making this playlist for them. And I was legit smiling the entire time. Because I always watch TV and film with my own soundtrack
right
in my head. I was like, I can do this for real. And
of
just
course.
And also put on artists that they're in my community that I love and that I want to
right.
give opportunities to.
Because you're work fire within, A&R still.
Still doing A&R. Those detours.
You know, the
full
detour,
circle.
Full circle. It was no detour.
So I'm excited about that. I'm excited about some stuff I'm doing with The Infatuation.
Mm-hmm.
They have an amazing food festival called EatsCon. They tapped us to program all the cultural content, music, combos, and all things food and culinary for the last couple of years. So we're going into our third year this year.
Sweet.
And just excited about learning. I mean, I'm really fascinated just about learning new things. Mm-hmm. Even things that I know nothing about or don't affect my business in any way. Like even when I was reading that New Earth, like reading about how flowers came into the earth, I was like, this is dope. That won't help me. I won't get a check from someone else because I know about flowers and how they emerge from the ground. But I mean, I just love those. I just love learning.
Yeah, I hear you.
Yeah.
What else have you been learning from? Like
other sources?
Yeah, what other sources? People, places,
people, friends, talking to people like you.
Hey.
Put me up on game.
Oh my gosh.
Constantly.
Stop.
All the time. Carafe talk.
Carafe talk.
But just like really being a student of life. You know, like I've been put in situations like through my work where I've been called an expert and things like that. And as I got older, I don't believe in that. I feel like if you're an expert, you declare to stop learning.
Oh.
Right? And you can always learn more. Yeah. That's not a diss to anyone calls themselves an expert. I mean, we're all proficient in certain things, right? And I know I'm good at a lot of things. Some things I'm learning, but we can always learn more. You know? So that's how...
So much.
I'm like in the university of life right now. You know? And like, I'm not sure if I'm a freshman or a senior, but like...
Who cares?
I show up for class every day, man. You know?
Yeah. Wow. Nice. Well, thank you for coming to my class.
Word. Thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
Definitely. Thank you so much for hanging out with us today. I hope you enjoyed yourself on Current Mood. Stay tuned for our next episode.